blessing to be with you and look forward to the worship of the hour with you and a discussion of those things that will help us and guide us in our worship together. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, we find, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Let's let this word richly dwell within us as we sing, "Just over in the glory land, I've a home prepared where the saints abide." Oh, soul, I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll bend. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with a mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. With the blood washed strong, I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll joy the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. We have many songs that anticipate that time in the glory land, being with God and all the saints. We have many songs that remind us of our heavenly home. We're going to sing a medley of songs that are familiar. And we'll sing one verse of each and then move right on after a brief pause to the next song about our home in heaven. You'll need to focus on the screen as we move from song to song quickly so we can keep the thought going. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Do be so. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. They trust that God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be.
Sweet hope of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Oh, so sing to be of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to be of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to be of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to be when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to be of heaven, sweetest song of all.
Amen. New Testament, congregational singing is different. It's not like most religions because it is a cappella or non-instrumental. Historian Everett Ferguson says, the very term used in musical circles for unaccompanied singing sums up the evidence of church history. A cappella comes from the Latin by way of Italian and means in the style of the church, as done in the church. The classical form of church music is unaccompanied song. The voice connected to the heart is the instrument that God has given Christians to worship Him with. In Ephesians, it is singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord as we speak, not play, but speak to one another. In Colossians, it's singing and with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord as we teach and admonish, not play, but teach and admonish one another. A note at this point regarding talking about a cappella music and regarding tuning devices. Some have argued in the defense of instrumental music in worship that using a tuning device, such as a pitch pipe, is the same as using instrumental accompaniment. I was in music education for 32 years, and I had never run on to a music educator or performer that ever had that idea. It is contrary, that idea is contrary to past and present musical practice worldwide. Secular performing groups sing songs without accompaniment, and it's called a cappella. And they use some source for the pitch in which to sing by. No one ever concludes that getting a pitch is part of the performance, or that a pitching device, whether it be a piano or a tuning fork, is used for instrumental accompaniment. In such circumstances, a pitching device is recognized as an aid to acquire what is needed in order to sing without the instruments. So using a pitching device to obtain a pitch in our assemblies does not violate New Testament scripture or practice, nor does it violate what is known in the musical world. Usually that argument is done by those who are grasping for straws, it seems, in arguing that. Now we're going to take a very brief, and I would say simple, tour of history of song worship. In the Old Testament, there was monophony, that is unison or same pitch singing and or chanting. It was done with and without instruments. There was the practice of call and answer between an individual or small group versus a large group. There was also what we call antiphonal or echo singing. A possible example of that is found in Exodus 15th chapter, where there was both group worship and individual call and response with a group. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. A possible example of call and response is Psalm 136, where it would be very convenient to have a call and then a response to that call. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the response, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And it continues on that way. And we would note, in the subtitle of Psalm 12, there is a reference to an instrument with a performing group. For the choir director upon an eight-stringed lyre, a psalm of David. So in Old Testament formal temple worship in Jerusalem, there was actually a professional choir and orchestra. In 1 Chronicles 25, starting at verse 1, moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the direction of the king. Their number, who were trained in singing to the Lord, with their relatives, all who were skillful, was 288. And we would note that the instruments were not the main focus here, but the prophesying, singing, and service were the purpose. As we move to the New Testament, there was what we call monophony, again, one sound, without instruments. Jesus did away with the formal worship of Israel located in the Jerusalem temple when there was the new covenant instituted. He said in John 4, verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. So the old physical temple and the old priesthood have been replaced with the spiritual and universal worship in the New Testament church. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So now we have a universal royal priesthood, one holy nation, including all peoples. Song worship in the New Testament included chant, call and answer, and antiphonal or that echo singing. Let's look at an example of a written chant for a moment. This is how maybe a chant would look if you notated it. If you're willing, I'll demonstrate maybe how it would sound. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word and show the death of our dear Lord until He come. Gives you an idea of what intoning would be in a chant. We don't know exactly what they sang, but it was probably something on that order, the idea of chant. Well, as time progressed, apostasy came and polyphonic singing developed. This was many voice parts like separate melodies being used. Their difficulty required trained singers and choirs. As a result, congregational singing diminished. We have an example of polyphony actually in our hymns for worship, with the Lord bless you and keep you, with four parts that are entering at staggered intervals. First, we have the tenor begin, and then the bass begins, followed by the alto, and then the soprano. And it looks like they have their own separate melodies, being much more independent, making it much more difficult to sing. Some have learned this as they have gone off to college or somewhere else and have learned to sing it. So it was included in the hymnal. Next, homophonic music was developed. This is where a melody is sung simultaneously with harmonizing parts. During the Protestant Reformation, there was a revival in congregational singing. Now, psalms and hymns were sung with voices of different pitches, but with the same rhythm at the same time, making it easier to sing polyphonically with more sounds than one. This tradition continues with us today. An example of that is For the Beauty of the Earth. Again, we have a melody, which is usually on the top. That's where the song leader is usually leading from, and that's where the sopranos usually sing the melody. Underneath, you'll notice the parts are stacked beneath, vertically, making it easy to sing because we've got basically the same rhythm. The parts are underneath. We have bass. And it looks like they've got a do, just like the sopranos with the triangle. The tenors have a mi, a different sound. The altos have the sol. So we have harmony, polyphony, but it's easier to sing because we have the same rhythm and moving at the same time. Let's sing For the Beauty of the Earth, For the Glory of the Skies. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee
church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Lord of altar, thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
A great hymn of praise. And talking about the love of God, another verse talks about the family love and then the love of the church. This tradition of singing in four parts in polyphony, but homophonically, continues. And it demands that we learn something about music and singing and provide training in order to perpetuate it. Well, New Testament worship is unique because it is a cappella, as designed by the Lord. Also, its purpose is to praise God and to teach and admonish others. It is not for the purpose of entertainment or drawing a crowd. We do not worship to please ourselves or doing what feels good. We only worship in spirit and in truth. We desire to grow in the knowledge of God and to delight in Him, not in the worship experience itself. It's unique because musical beauty is not the prime requisite. The melody in the heart of the worshiper is much more important. One does not need to be musically trained or talented to participate. Song worship is not a demonstration of talent, but of faith. God is the ultimate audience. Someone has described congregational singing like a meadow. Think of a springtime meadow. As you view it from a distance, it's colorful. The colors are vibrant. But if you were to approach that meadow and look individually at the flowers, you would see some buds that are just barely opening. You would see some that are open and in full bloom. And you would see some that are wilted and dying off. Isn't that the way congregational singing is? As you look at it in the big picture, it's what is beautiful as we work together. It is different because our song worship is appointed by God and not man. We don't do it because it's the popular thing to do. We don't do it because we may be good at it or we like doing it. Our motivation is to please the one we worship and to edify others. It must be rendered in the proper spirit or it ceases to be worship. The mere activity alone is not acceptable worship. Acting out of a desire to influence others or a concern for others or a mere commitment to tradition or sentiment is not worship that's in spirit and in truth. Congregational worship is different, because understanding is a necessary part of the act. This requires individual and collective effort in knowing the content and message of what is sung. We are truly people of two books, the Bible and the hymnal. One is inspired of God, and the other is not, yet both are opened each time we assemble. What we sing should be understood, and we need to reflect upon the message and sentiment that is there, and it should reflect the message and sentiment of Scripture. Time then must be taken to discover and know the words and the message of what we sing. Scriptural song worship is unique, for it involves everyone. Song worship is not done by proxy. It's not the responsibility of a select group or one person. In order to edify and teach and admonish one another as directed by God, every member shares in song worship. Even though we do not need to be talented to accomplish congregational song worship, even a simple hymn or song requires the coordination of pitch and rhythm with the words. This makes continual effort by the congregation, or this takes continual effort by the congregation to maintain edifying worship. Nothing contributes more to a sense of awe than singing that is well done. Mediocre and poor singing just drains the reverence out of our worship. Half-hearted singing is not a good example for non-instrumental music, for God's a cappella worship. Good singing alone may not mean that we have worshiped in spirit and in truth, but often the spiritual vitality of a congregation is reflected in its song worship. It says, we really want to be here, and we're serious about what we're doing. Frank Walton says this, the fervency of proper worship in song displays the spiritual energy of our souls, how real and how great God is to us, how vital our faith is, and how grateful we are to our great God. Scriptural song worship is different, for the music of the church is truly real. We sing songs of real persons, real places, real things, real events, which carry living messages to each of us. If you think about the songs of the world, they're actually mere fantasy, for they have no eternal value. The music of the world can never meet the need of the soul. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs speak of the reality of unseen things of love and their place and importance here below. New Testament song worship is a foretaste, a little small foretaste of heaven. Our worship includes the anticipation of the consummation of all things, as we've already sung this evening. The book of Revelation reveals a great multitude in heaven, which no man can number, and they're praising and worshiping God. So when we assemble, we can know, we can relate to things and God in ways that we cannot do it by ourselves. There is a participation in the assembled worship which is more intense than the individual passion of anyone beside themselves. Even though worship occurs within the heart, God has so created man that there are deeper delights and more intense inspiration in the worshiping assembly than in individual devotion. That's why we're here, anticipating the things that are to come. On Jordan's stormy banks, I stand. And I'm looking off into that which I look for and hope for and live for. Let's be standing if you can. Number 254, On Jordan's Stormy Banks. Though on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land, just across of the ever-great shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. O'er all those wide extended plains shines what eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns and scatters light away. We will rest in the fair and happy land,
just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore.
Amen. We've discussed the understanding the song worship leader's role, and we stress the idea that we want to focus on worship. That's what we're leading. We're leaders of worship, not of songs. And the Word is our source of what we do. We lead the melody of the message. And if we had the time, the real heart of song worship begins with the planning and preparation of what we sing. I never lead song worship without a plan. And the congregation knows why I'm singing these songs. And I have a scripture that goes with it. So there's no doubt about what the purpose is of our worship. And I encourage you to think about that and do the same. If we had time, we could really dwell or delve into that, but it's just not possible. Remember, take one step at a time. We can improve. This is only the start of a process of improvement. Great blessings are to come. Remember that our goal is we want to encourage edification, to sing with the spirit and the understanding by singing a complete thought in an orderly manner. And the process, the recommended process, a process of teaching and being able to accomplish that is what we're doing. Again, we're not trying to make musicians out of anyone, but learning just enough so we can make a difference and be more effective. Now, leaders, I know that you have some songs that you probably sing that we haven't covered an aspect of pitching on. So we will do that. And it's pitching in minor keys. And you say, well, what's that? Well, we've been talking about do, mi, so, right? Starting on do. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Well, on certain songs, we don't start on do. We start on la. So if we sang do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, let's just do that together to get that feel of the sound. We'll go up and down. Do, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. Now let's do it on la. Do, ti, la. Start there. La, ti, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. La, sol, fa, mi, re, do, ti, la. Different feeling, isn't it? It's a somber and serious contrast to the major keys that we have been singing. We call it minor. And now the pitching scale, or if you will, for the song leaders, is now la, do, mi. But we start with do and get to la. Do, ti, la. Because we know how to find do already. And once we go backwards to la, we have the new sound now set in our minds. So it's do, ti, la, and then we may have to go up to do or up to be. Or we may have to go, I've probably pitched it too low. We'll, do, ti, la, mi. We may have to go down to the lower mi. As an example, you're wondering, how does that apply? I'm glad you asked. We have the song, There Is a Green Hill. And if we note up in the pitching and directing guide, it says E minor. And then it says 2C, and if we remember, that means the two-beat pattern, but it's compound. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? Then it has a la. So it starts on la. First thing we want to remember, it says it's the key of E minor, but we want to know where do is. Do, the triangle is on G. Every good boy does fine. We'll find that triangle right on G or one sharp. We know it means go down and eat breakfast. So it's the key of G. That's where do is. But look where the starting syllable is in the lead. It's on a law. It's on a rectangle. So, the pitching scale is do, ti, la, and then we'll be ready to go. Notice who has the law. The melody has it. Also, the bass has it. The tenors have a do, and the altos have a mi. It's a totally different sound. So in pitching this, we would first find do, which would be G. That we know. We've practiced finding that. There's our do. Do, ti, la. Is your ear kind of tuned now? It's a different sound. So basses, you have a la. Tenors, you have a do. Altos have the B. And the melody has the la. Let's sing the first verse. Do, ti, la. There is a great hill far away without a city wall where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Okay. Everyone was able to start on the first word because we pitched it correctly. Okay? It was a simple do, ti, la. And everything that's in Hymns for Worship, the hymnal, if it's a minor song, you'll start at do, ti, la. Now, when we go to the supplement, it's a different matter. Some of the songs are different in there. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, which is in your supplement. Again, do is G. There's one sharp. And it starts on la. Again, it's pitching it would be do, ti, la. Let's just start that. Do, ti, la. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Is that one you sing? Not yet? Okay. All right, as an example. Then there's We Shall Assemble on the Mountain, which is a popular one. The key is C minor, but do is E flat. Thank you, Kyle. It worked. I appreciate that. You had me get it so that our flats would appear. Appreciate that very much. Do is E flat. Fat boys eat. E flat. We notice that the starting syllable is the upper mi on this one. So we go our do, ti, la, and then we'll have to work ourselves up to the do and up to the mi. In fact, you can see the tenors have the la, the altos have the do, and then the sopranos have the mi. But we want to set up the minor sound by going do, ti, la. Do, ti, la, do, mi. Basses and tenors have the la, altos have the do, and the sopranos have the mi. Do, ti, la, do, mi. Let's try to start it. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. Okay, very good. There was what I just told you, but it's in circles now. These kind of songs, it's important to pitch correctly because you'll have a hard time starting the song if you don't pitch it correctly. People will be searching for the minor, and they'll get on somewhere down the line. Okay? The battle belongs to the Lord. It says it's E minor, but do is G. And the starting syllable is the lower mi. So we have to go do, ti, la, down to the mi. Always begin with do, ti, la. Here's our D, G, do. Do, ti, la, mi. So we know it's go in heavenly arm. And we're ready to begin. All right. There we go. Do, ti, la, down to the B. Thank you. Let's sing the first verse. Do, ti, la, mi. In heavenly arbor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. The weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. And there you go. That's how we would successfully pitch that and start it then. Okay, those are probably more advanced things, but letting you know those and some necessary things. Let's review quickly. Again, our guide that we're thinking about, we use our books, announcing the number, the title of the number, and other information. Give the do, and then go to the starting pitch if it's different from do. Think about the speed that you're going to, that you've practiced. Have a ready position and eye contact. Remember, we wait for everyone to get ready, and then we have that preparatory breath, and we've been practicing going either starting here and then singing on the upbeat and then coming on the down, or we practice just coming straight down. We continue beating in eye contact and expression and hold the final note and give the final cutoff. We've been doing such a fine job with that. And now, leaders, if you will, we had some great participation last night. We'd ask those and others that want to get involved to come back on back up again. We'd ask for your help. If you'll do that, thank you. Notice we've got them up here without books. We'll let you use books for that. Okay, everyone up here know Holy, Holy, Holy? Sounds like a good one to sing the first verse on. All right, very good. We're all going to give you a list for tomorrow night. We got those done, thank you. And we also have some other material for you that you can have also, which you can use for your review of what we're doing here. Great. Holy, 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 number one. Holy, Holy, Holy. We're going to sing the first verse. If you need to use the book, we'd ask your book and your hearts and your voices as you sing with us so that we can start together with a complete thought and sing together. Okay, that's an E flat. There's our do.
Do.
Where's our ready position? Okay, it's going to be in four times, so it's down, in, out, up. Okay? Do. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over all and blessed eternally.
Very good. What's the most important beat that you give? What's the most important motion?
Down.
It's the down. So you want to think of a very healthy downbeat. That is what really keeps everybody together. And if you only have something that's like this, what are you suggesting everybody sing?
Softly.
Softly. So you need to find a healthy downbeat, and your secondary beats can be much smaller, saves the energy. But that healthy downbeat describes what you want from them.
Okay, so be thinking about that in your pattern as you're getting used to that new feeling, the healthy downbeat. Okay, how about Son of My Soul? Is that okay? That's a 3-4. Mm-hmm. We can, if you don't know it, we'll sing along with us anyway. Okay, number 17, Son of My Soul, number 1-7, first verse. Okay, this is in the key of F. Do, and giving a confident do instills confidence in them too. Everything about what you speak, the way you present yourself, must be confident, even though we're shaking. We all have to do that, but confidence helps instill confidence in them that you're ready to again. Let's give them another do. Do. Where's our ready position? Okay. Son of my soul, thou Savior dear, it is not thine if thou be dear. Oh, may no earth-born cloud arise to servant's eyes. Okay, very good. All right. Let's see. Let's choose a wonderful story of love. How about that? Wonderful story of love. That's number 180. Wonderful story of love. 180. That's the first verse. Yeah, that's the key of C. Do. Now, do we start on the low do or the high do? High do. So we have to work our way up, okay? And it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wonderful story of love, okay? The two pattern. But it's compound. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do, be, sol, do. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Center of all to believe it. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful. 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 Wonderful story of love. Very good. All right. Starting, staying, and stopping together. Let's get some more compound time. Let's see. Well, let's go back. Let's get back to a 4-4 time. Number 214, No Tears in Heaven, 2-1-4. F. Very good. No. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears,
No tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known.
Very good. One more, gentlemen, and that would be very good. Let's go back to a 2-4 one. That's one of the harder ones. Number 68, Lord, we come before thee now. Number 6-8. I put a 4 in there, but that's actually a 2, so that's a G. Oh, 2 pattern, down and up. And so this is more of a prayer, so it's a little more slower than really a 2-4, but we'll slow it down. Lord, we come before thee now. At thy feet we humbly bow. Order not our surface stain. Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Good job. Appreciate the efforts of these men, and we're very encouraged by that.
Be sure and come up and pick one of these up in front in your material after we're through. That would be very good. We have a song on our books, number 325, I Am Resolved. When New Year comes around, we usually have what we call New Year's resolutions, making a resolution. This song speaks of someone who has made a definite resolution, a definite choice. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. In other words, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to remain where I am in this world. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I see now the true reality of things and what's more important. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and my strife. I've made up my mind, and I'm going to act. I'm leaving the old life behind. I'm going to Jesus. Why? He's the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. In other words, Jesus is real. He's the only one that I can place my trust in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. I'm not going to put it off any longer. I'm going to quickly and I'm going to gladly turn my life over to Jesus. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. He's the true. He's the great. He's the living God. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true, each day. I've made up my mind to be faithful to Jesus, his faithful disciple. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I'll do what he says, I'll do whatever it takes, because he is the way of life. I'm resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Nothing is going to stop me from becoming a citizen of the kingdom of light. Foes may oppose me, friends
may oppose me. Foes may beset me, still will I enter in. Members of my own family may be my foe. They may become my enemy, but that is not going to stop me. I'm still going to enter in. No matter what I might face or the consequences of my faith, I'm going ahead with my decision. Tonight, are you resolved to follow Jesus, faithful and true each day? Have you made that resolution? Have you yet entered into the kingdom? What's stopping you? Let nothing stop you if you know what to do. Act upon it. This is an old song. We've sung it for a long time. But it's making a testimony, making a commitment. I am resolved. And I'm going to do this. So even those who have come to the Lord, we can sing this song of resolution again. Nothing is going to stop us. Nothing is going to hinder us as we commit ourselves again to Jesus. We're going to sing the first and second, and then the chorus, and then the third and fourth, and then the chorus. We invite you to make your wants and wishes known as together we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the heavy way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
Again, we're grateful for your participation and your kind attention and support. Appreciate all the good comments and the wonderful hospitality that you're showing me this week. Song worship leaders, be sure and come up, get your material, choose out one of the songs there, and plan to lead at least two verses of those songs for tomorrow night. Okay, and we'll be willing and ready to help you every step of the way. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Tomorrow we'll start off tuning our hearts by talking about worship. Is it service or experience? Have that discussion tomorrow. Thankful for everyone's attention, especially our visitors. We're grateful. We'll be led now in our closing prayer.